We all want to have fun and loving relationships, especially with our significant other. And if that's you, then this is the episode for you, because in this episode, I'm sharing with you my top tips to develop a fun and loving relationship. And even if you feel like you already have one, this is just some good ideas that you can implement too and just add to that lovely Sunday that you have going on. I don't know why, but the picture in my mind that popped up was like a sundae with like a cherry on top, you know, and all of the nuts and all the things. And maybe there's like some more good stuff that you can add on top of that sundae. You know what I mean? That's a thought that popped in my mind. If you're new here, welcome. And if you've been around, welcome again. I'm Angela Barnard, and I'm all about helping you intentionally design your life. And the reason why I want to talk about relationships, like the relationship with your significant other and making that more fun and loving, is because I've been on that journey of improving my relationship with my husband. And I feel like it just keeps getting better and better. And so many people have said to me how much they admire my relationship with my husband. And I'm not saying that in a way to brag, but I'm saying it because I'm proud of it, because I think the things that I've been implementing have really improved our relationship, and other people are even noticing it. So let me give you a little backstory before we jump into the seven things. All right, I want you to know that Ian and I's marriage hasn't always been lollipops and rainbows, right? So we've gone through our fair share of hard times, like especially at the beginning of our relationship. Like long story short, on our wedding day, we both cried, and it wasn't just, we did the tears of joy with the vows and everything, but we also cried because of devastation, of the drama and the things that happened that we were like, what? I could not imagine that this is how my day would be when I was marrying somebody that I love so much. So there was that. And I'm not going to get into all the drama and all that stuff, because I don't want your brain to even have to go there. And to be honest, it's something that still shows up as a trigger for me. And that becoming more aware of my triggers and like the pain that I've felt from the past and stuff, and that awareness and learning how to manage my mind has really helped and improved our relationship, because we all walk into relationships with our own pain from the past and certain things that trigger us. And the more self-aware you are and the more that you're able to observe and not react on the spot, the better you show up in relationships, you know? So I think doing your own work individually and doing the healing and this higher awareness shifting into these higher awareness states, all of that stuff that we talk about here on the show, like that's really important and crucial to having a healthy and happy relationship, hands down. So I think over the years, I've been doing more and more of that work, which I think improves our relationship. And so has Ian. Ian's done a lot of work in that area too. But a big challenge for us in our relationship was just like family stuff and other people's drama and letting it get involved in our relationship. And so long story short, we've done a lot of work on that. But I just wanted to quickly share that so you know that like we felt those hard times too. And there's been times where I just like didn't want to deal with things. I would get upset and I would just like leave. I just want to run away and avoid. And that was like a pattern that I learned from my childhood too, and what I've seen, and I've been able to work through that. So anyways, we won't turn this into a whole like therapy session for myself. Like, what are you doing, Ange? You know, but anyways, we're going to get into those seven tips for you. All right. So tip number one is to speak each other's love languages. You've probably heard of the book, The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts. It's a book by Gary Chapman. And he describes these five unique styles of communicating love. And he learned this from his experience in marriage counseling and linguistics. And people seem to love this book. You can always go and take your assessment, figure out what your love languages are if you're not familiar, and have your significant other do it. But it's just really helpful, because what I have found is that I think Ian's top ones are, so the five, let me tell you the five first if you're not familiar. They're affirmation, so words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And basically, these are five ways that people give love and receive love. So it's like you need to understand their communication style, like their love communication style, because that's how they perceive you loving them. And it's also how they tend to give the love. So Ian's, going back to that, his are quality time, I think, is his number one. And then I think physical touch is like his number two. So mine are acts of service, which means like I feel like if you do things for me or you do things with me, that that's showing that you love me, right? So that's how my perception is. And then also quality time. So that's good that we have the quality time up there with each other. But physical touch, it's not really something that I think about with love. This is just my personal thing. But I do think it's important. We're going to get to that later about how physical touch is important in general in your relationship. But just generally speaking, the acts of service. So when Ian became aware of this, he's like, oh, so Angela knows that I love her, or she perceives me as loving her when I help her with things, when I do things with her, for her. And truly, like yesterday, homeboy was over here changing the mantle. Like he's been, so our fireplace mantle, we were laughing hysterically last night. Cause so, you know, we live in this tiny house and our fireplace is not a legit fire. Like our home's on wheels. Like, come on now. But it's like, we don't even go as far to call it electric, because it's, you know how the electric ones have like the logs a lot of times, the fake logs, and lights up. Like ours just kind of like has like an image of fire that like lights up, but we still love it. And it's hilarious because last night Ian was putting, like he's putting all the stone around our fake, super fake fireplace. And then we got like this really cool like wooden mantle, and he's been putting that up. And I laugh because we're like, what are we even doing trying to like make this like super fake thing really cool? Like it's not going to be that cool, you know, let's just be real. So we've acknowledged that yesterday and we laughed hysterically about it as we were going to sleep. So anyways, when I saw him working on the mantle and I'm looking over at him, I'm like, oh, I love him so much. I just love this man. He's so handsome. Like literally, these are the thoughts coming to my mind. And it made me laugh because I thought about the five love languages and how like that was him showing love to me. That's how I perceived it, you know? So I think this is interesting. So anyways, Ian's, the other one that he has is physical touch. So if there's a long period of time where I have not touched him, like, and I'm not a really touchy person, like even like hugs, and like I just didn't grow up in an environment where I received a lot of love in that way. So I just am kind of learned to kind of not be that way. And anywho, like, I don't know why, but the thought in my mind just popped up that it's like, as a baby, I was never rocked. Like, I don't think that was necessarily true, but I don't know why, but that just came to my mind. And that would be really sad, but I feel like that's just not, because I picture Ian being like rocked and loved a lot, you know, and like that wasn't really my experience. So anywho, he loves the physical touch thing. So I've learning, since I've been aware of this, I go out of my way more to touch him, like as far as like hugging him or, and he's not a person that's like really into like PDA and like, you know, all that stuff, like, but just showing him that I love him as far as hugging and other way, forms of physical touch and stuff, right? So anyways, just becoming aware of our love languages has been really helpful, and so that we can do things to show each other that we love each other. That's my whole point. That was a long way of making my point, but you guys get it. All right, so check that out if you haven't. I'll put a link to, if you want to take your assessment, into the show notes. I'm also going to have a blog post that goes along with this episode. So that'll be fun if you want to look back on anything. The second tip is to know each other's dreams and to support them. So I think a lot of couples are not aware of each other's dreams. They don't talk about it. And I think that sometimes then resentment shows up when someone's doing something that's not in alignment with helping that other person's dream come true. Like it's kind of going against it. Like an example would be like if I have a dream, and I do have this dream, to write a book. And I love to like be like in my own little space and like write or nerd it out and read something, right? And I like, if somebody interrupts that time, like, or wants me to go do all the other things that they want to do. Let's say like Ian wants to go hiking, and I love hiking too, but I also want to find my time to like sit and read and write and stuff. If he's not aware that that's important to me or that's a big dream of mine, then how can he help support me on that? Like, I would be triggered of him bothering me, but I've never communicated that. And I've seen that a lot with couples. So I just want to bring this up. I think it's really helpful to tell each other about your dreams, like get clear on your dreams, talk about the things that you both value and how you can, what kind of life do you guys want to live together and how can you design that? I think it's so important because then you're intentional with your time, your money, and your other resources. So I think it's helpful for couples together to make their own like vision board or come with their own goals together, or each of them make their vision boards and then communicate it to each other. Having my vision board and having it showing my goals and the things that are important to me, it's been so helpful because it's a physical thing that I can show Ian and be like, this is what I'm dreaming for. This is what I'm believing for, praying for, all the things. And then when we make decisions, he knows my dreams. So like then I can advocate. If there's a course I want, I can say like, remember, because this is my overall goal and this helps lead to it. And then we talk about his goals too. And I'll ask him like, how are you doing on that thing? And it's just like, I think it makes our relationship so much more healthier and we support each other. And just, I just think it's an awesome thing to think about. So spend some time doing that, getting clear on what your values are, what your goals are, what your dreams are, how you want to design your life. And the cool thing is my Clarify Your Vision course is coming out. So if you have this blog post, I'll update it with the link to it. Or you can always come back on my site or always email me at any time and ask me about this kind of stuff. You can email me, actually, an easy email to remember is coaching@angebarnard.com. That will go directly to me. The other thing I want to say is if anyone has messaged me on my website and I haven't gotten back to you, I'm so sorry, because something happened where I wasn't able to see emails and messages on there for a while. And it just breaks my heart because I don't know who messaged me. And if you did, try to reach out to me again at coaching@angebarnard.com. And then I'm more likely to see it because that goes directly to me. But we think we got the website stuff figured out now, according to my techie guy who's been helping me. All right, moving on. Sorry for that rant. The third thing is to plan to spend quality time together. Plan it. If it's important to you, it should have a spot in your calendar. And if you want to be the person that values spending quality time with someone that you love, then you really need to think, what would that person do? What are their habits? This is stuff I'm always talking about, like on the podcast and in my Commit to Your Vision course. That's not enough just to say, I want to be this way. You actually have to have the habits of that person. So an example would be if you're saying, I am the person who spends quality time with the people I love, then that means what? The habits don't involve you being on your phone constantly, checking it in their presence. The habits don't involve you constantly working in front of them. The habit would be like you ask them questions. You do things with them and you're fully present. Right? So this is something I had to work on, guys. One of my identity-based goals was to be someone that is fully present with the people that I love, because I wasn't. I would be like the person looking at my phone. I would be the person trying to work when I'm in their presence. And I've gotten so much better at it because people, like my family has told me, even Ian has told me, is because I've been intentional about it. So now it's like when I eat dinner with Ian every night, I don't have my phone out. When we go for a walk, that's a habit of ours after we eat, and we share about what we're excited about or any, you know, challenges we had during the day. And we laugh a lot about like the craziness that Ian deals with at work. Sometimes it's like hilarious. I'm like, did that really happen? And then I rant about other things that happen during the day, and it's just fun. And I really feel like that improves our relationship, but it's intentional that we spend quality time together. And I thought about who I wanted to be, what kind of person. And then I started acting as so. And now it's greatly improving my relationship. The fourth thing is to plan to have fun together. So fun doesn't just happen. Like, you have to seek out opportunities to have fun. And then when you make your brain focus on the things that bring you joy, you're going to feel more of that. Ian and I always have something fun planned. Like, we seek out opportunities to have fun. And I think I've noticed with a lot of other people, like, they're like, oh, you know, I feel like we don't really have much fun in our relationship. And I would say, like, well, do you plan to have fun? And most would probably say no. And I would say, do you make it a priority to have fun? Like, you say it's important to you, but does your schedule and your time and your resources indicate that? Is that in alignment with that? Really think about it, because I think even couples that have children, like, if it's important for you to have fun with your significant other, then that means your resources goes to that. Like, your time and your money, like, you plan it out when you're going to go do something fun together. You might have to spend money on getting someone to watch your children, or even just watching our pets sometimes when we travel, like things like that. But that's okay, because we are ensuring that we're living life in alignment with what's important to us, and we're willing to dedicate resources in order to do so. So this goes back to deciding what is important to you, and then again, living in alignment with it. But sometimes I feel like we just need that reminder. Some of the things that you can do just to have fun with each other, it could be simply like you having new experiences in the location that you're in. Like, in like our little town that we're in, Ian and I will go on adventures during the weekend. We'll drive around backcountry roads and see what's happening. There's some new cows out there. Like, we ran into like this awesome ice cream shop that had like this homemade ice cream, and it was like the middle of nowhere, and there was like a strawberry patch. You could get strawberries, and we were just driving around checking things out, and that was really fun. Even just if there's a new coffee shop in town, or just something new pops up, or a restaurant we haven't tried, that's a good way to add more fun into your life. Anything new is going to release dopamine, so it's going to be more enjoyable. And the more that you guys do that kind of stuff together, your brain will start to make this association that when I'm with this person, I have fun. So like right now, I tell Ian all the time, I'm like, you're the most fun person I know. Like, my brain has a association with him, like fun, like Ian equals fun, because we've done so much fun stuff together, but we seek out opportunity. And everywhere that we live, people are always like asking us for advice around what to do in the area, because we found all these like little hidden gems. It's because we're constantly seeking opportunities to have fun. And it could be in your town, or it could be like a trip that you're planning, or maybe like in the evenings, Ian and I will like look on even like Pinterest. I'll find stuff on there and I'll be like, oh, this is a cool trip. We should think about this. And what if we did do this? And we like dream up things together, and we plan a lot to have fun. I did a time log recently based on one of my previous episodes when I was talking about being intentional with your time. So I did that, and I had so much time that I was spending planning to have fun. And I don't think I was like upset about it, because I was like, dang, Ange, you really plan to have fun a lot. But you know what? I value having fun a lot in my life. That's a huge value of mine. So my time reflects that. All right. So moving on to the fifth tip is to learn something new together. This also sparks dopamine, anything new. So Ian and I like are constantly learning new things together. Like, we learned how to scuba dive. Well, I learned how to do my beginner's level of scuba diving, and he learned his advanced, but we learned that together. We learn how to remodel our home together. We learn how to make really awesome travel itineraries. We cooking exotic foods. Like, the other day, he was in the kitchen with me, and we were making tapiocas from Brazil. And if you're not familiar with tapiocas, oh my goodness, I love these things. But they can be quite messy to make. And I love them because it's like a flour, so tapioca flour, and it's gluten-free. And you like, it's weird. You put water in it and it has like this weird, it's consistency that's like magical. It like rolls down and like clumps together. I can't even describe it, guys. You just have to look it up or something. But it's so cool. And then you like take this powder and you put it down in a pan, and you basically make like, you can make almost like, they're kind of like tacos. It's like tacos and crepes at a baby, but it's like, I don't know how to describe it. But I make like these pizza like ones with marinara cheese and basil and fresh tomato and salt and like pesto and stuff. And it's like this little crepe-like thing, and it's just super yummy, but it's super messy. But anywho, Ian was like in there, and we're like trying to perfect these and trying to be better at making them, and it's something new. It's fun for us. We've been growing plants together. We've been like geeking out about hiking the Camino de Santiago and the Appalachian Trail. So those are two big trails. One, the Camino de Santiago goes from Spain through Portugal, and there's like, you know, a lot of people have done it from like a Christian, a lot of Christians have done it because of its history and stuff around, just, okay, I won't get all into that details. That doesn't matter right now on this episode. But anyways, I've been really interested in that. So I've been geeking out about that. And he has been too, and like tips around that. And same thing with the trail. So we're always learning something new together. And it keeps this excitement going. And I'm like, what else are we going to learn together? Like, I have so many ideas of additional things I want to learn after we figure this stuff out. And then the sixth thing is to touch each other. Touch each other. Whether you have the love language of physical touch or not, studies have shown that physical touch is essential to our well-being. And when you touch someone, you release oxytocin. So oxytocin is the hormone that is released when a mom is like holding her baby. It's also known as like the love hormone. But it really forms like, it allows us to form a bond with each other. And you want that hormone to be released so you feel that bond with other people. So you feel it through touch. So I think a lot of times in relationships, people can feel really disconnected because they haven't really spent time like touching each other. Let me tell you about at least some studies that I've read because I just nerd out about this stuff. So here's one. It says the science of touch came of age in the 1990s. So the mid-1990s, when two scientists traveled to Romania to examine the sensory deprivation of children in these understaffed orphanages. So they found that the touch-deprived children had strikingly lower cortisol and growth development levels for their age. So one person described them as being autistic-like and growth-deprived. So just right there, the fact that they were not touched, it caused their well-being to suffer greatly, and they didn't grow well. And then another interesting thing, there was this girl who was working with the neonatal intensive care unit, so with these premature babies, and they were trying to figure out how they could help them be healthier so they can get discharged, right? And what they found is when they massaged them, so touched them, that they gained more weight and they were just started becoming healthier enough to be discharged. And there's a lot more studies talking about like physical touch. One of them that I thought was really interesting was talking about how touch helps improve the fight against like cancer and things like that. And I was like, wow, like this is so helpful to all of us. So basically massaging, that's something that can really help improve your relationship. At first I was kind of resistant to this because I wasn't, not that I'm resistant to massages, but I don't know, like I don't value physical touch as much as like Ian does, right? It's not one of my top love languages. But we started doing like massage nights. So I will like massage him, he'll give me a massage. And anywho, this has really, I feel like, helped us just strengthen our relationship. And now that I look into the science of it, I'm like, this makes a lot of sense, you know? So that's something that you can add into your life. All right, the last thing I want to talk about is speaking kind words about each other. Like having that habit, that is my last tip, because a lot of couples will complain about each other to their friends. And I've done this too. I've complained about things to friends, and I've been more aware of it recently where I'm like, what are you doing, Ange? Like your words have so much power. And the more that you decide to focus on what you don't like about someone, the more that you're going to see like more of that, what you don't like, because you're always training your brain. And plus it's like, no one wants to hear that. Like you're just bringing a negativity into a space. Like no one wants that. That's not helpful at all. It doesn't make things better, you know? So just remember that you tell your brain what to focus on. And when you do, it searches for more reasons to believe that that is true. So you want to train your brain to see the good in not only your significant other, but everyone. And you're going to find more of it and just become more aware. I've been coming more aware of like how I talk. And I'm like, dang, like I like for a while there, I was like, you're a crap talker. Like, what the heck, you know? And I came to my awareness and I'm like, that's not who I want to be. That's an example of me living out of alignment with who I want to be. And lately I've transformed that. Like I'm always saying like good things about Ian, how much I love him and adore him. And I feel like I just see more and more of that. And the same is true for other relationships in my life that have been harder for me. I've been really, even when I journal, I will write all the things I like about the person and just keep letting my brain focus on more of that. And I think that it does change how they show up, because when I show up around them, I like generate this joy more and they feel that because I have the power to influence their energy too. So anyways, those are the 7 tips. I wanted to share them with you. I really believe they'll help improve your relationship in general if you implement them. I hope you got a lot of this episode. If you did, let me know. Leave a review if you haven't. I always say that, but it really helps the show. And have an awesome day. I will talk to you soon. Bye.